Good morning, my friends. The title to our message this morning is, How Much Does a Prayer Weigh? And our Bible text is 1 Peter 4, verse 7. There it says, Be ye sober, therefore, and watch unto prayer, for the end of all things is coming upon us. Now, before we begin, I'd like us to pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning to study this most important topic, prayer, I pray that you will give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I suppose that if we thought the Lord were coming tonight, there would be a lot of praying between now and then, wouldn't there? I do believe in this solemn hour there ought to be a lot of praying, don't you? Be ye sober, therefore, and watch unto prayer, for the end of all things is coming upon us. 1 Peter 4, 7. But some object, I don't really know how to pray. My prayers are not answered. Some church members have told me this. So let's study this all-important question of prayer. Now, there are different types of prayer. One of these is a public prayer, and I don't mean this depreciatingly, but I think that is the least important prayer. I remember one time driving through Kentucky years ago, and a certain preacher made a great impression on me as I tuned into his program. That man prayed as if he were waving a doctor's degree in the Lord's face. But friends, God is not interested in those wordy, high-sounding prayers that do not come from a humble heart. They don't mean a thing to Him. Sometimes when people tell me they don't know how to pray, I answer, Well, you don't seem to have trouble talking to me. My friends, you can talk to your Heavenly Father like you do to a friend. That is the personal prayer, and it is a type of prayer God is most interested in. Prayer that just comes from your heart, just pushing out from your heart to God, as you would to a close friend. Now, there are other types of prayers, such as week of prayer, prayer meeting, and prayer bands, where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name. He is there in their midst and is taking note of their petitions, according to Matthew 18, verse 20. Now, there's another very important type of prayer that's called family worship. The old-fashioned name for it is the family altar. That expression comes from the Old Testament plan of the evening and the morning sacrifice, where the father, as a spiritual leader, would gather the family around the altar, slay the sacrifice, and offer it to God. They gathered about the family altar for morning and evening sacrifice, so that came to be the term used when the family would gather together for family worship, reading the Bible, singing, and praying together. Now, friends, I don't want anyone to do anything to give yourselves away, but just answer quietly in your heart. Did I have family worship this morning before leaving home? Incidentally, this is a devil's world, you know. And that's why it is being run after his pattern and not God's. Did you and your family take time this morning to have worship and to talk with your Heavenly Father? I really believe that if parents would gather their children about them every morning and every evening for prayer, there would not be so many straying children. It is tragic that so many so-called Christian homes never gather together for family worship. Then, years later, they come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I don't know what's the trouble, but my son has wandered out into the world. My daughter has married a non-Christian and has given up everything, yet I took them to church every week, and they really knew their memory verses. Help me, Pastor, please. My friends, bring your family to Jesus every morning and evening, and they will get the habit firmly fixed. And if they have learned to lean upon the family altar, they will not wander very far from their Lord. Now, the most important prayer of all is a private prayer. That is a prayer our Heavenly Father likes best. It is a place where there is no inquisitive ear listening in, just in the closet alone with God. It could be out under a tree, or by a lake, or on the mountainside. It could be any quiet retreat where you can slip away and be alone with God. I think you will find this is the most precious type of prayer. In fact, I believe there's something special about having a definite place of prayer to meet with Jesus. Jesus had one to meet with his Father. It was a quiet place in the Garden of Gethsemane, the very place which would later mark his agony. And this is where he would go and commune with his Father. Meeting with a multitude during a day and ministering to their needs drained him, and the very urgency of his own desperate need drove him to take time to pray. In the garden, he would talk things over with his Father and find guidance and direction for the next day. Now, if you will also take a little time every morning and evening alone with God in prayer, you will never wander very far from your Heavenly Father's house, and you will surely find help and guidance in planning your days in harmony with God's perfect plan. Brothers and sisters, prayer is just conversation, just talking over your cares, your joys, your sorrows, your headaches, and your needs with God as you would with your closest friend. Now, I know that some people think prayer is tedious, but when you're talking with someone you love, does the time drag slowly by? No, it doesn't. When you're with a person you love, it is a time of joy and quiet peace with love filling your heart. Do you know that Zephaniah 3:17 tells us that God will joy over us with singing? This has always been a beautiful thought to me. I love music, but to think of God singing? I think that's wonderful, don't you? Oh, you cannot burden Jesus. You cannot worry him with your cares. Our Heavenly Father is interested in the little details of our lives. Learn to talk it all over with him. Conversing with God is a very, very important lesson. You may have a great many burdens, a great many cares. Just take them all to Jesus. He has the answer. Do you know what a lady said to me one day? She'd wandered away from God, and when people wander from God, they usually quit praying. I had asked her how long it had been since she had prayed. She said, "Well, I usually pray whenever one of my children gets sick or if I get frightened about something." Isn't that a pity, friends, to only use the Lord as a sort of a heavenly ambulance when a loved one gets smitten by Satan in this world of sin? "Lord, I need help. Can you rush a heavenly ambulance quickly and bring aid to my loved one?" Now, that is not quite fair, is it? We ought to always keep the channel of communication open between heaven and us. Let God be constantly accustomed to hearing your voice. Then, when an emergency arises, you can just naturally turn to your Heavenly Father as the flowers turn to the sun and say, "Father, here's a problem that's come up. It's urgent. I'm desperate. Will you please help me?" And he knows your voice. It's not a strange voice to him. And he's happy to come to you in your special need with emergency aid for you or your dear one. John 10, verse 27 and 28 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and not anyone shall pluck them out of my hand." Oh, what a blessing that is. What a promise that is. My friends, prayer is a privilege. It's not a duty. When Mother's Day came around, I used to give my mother something. "Thank you, son," she would say, "but you really did not have to do this." Well, Mother, I did it because I felt it was my duty. Now, if I would have said that, how do you suppose my dear mother would have felt? Oh, friends, is it my duty to do a thing like that? And yet, individuals say, well, I guess I should go to church today. It is my duty to go. Oh, that's like bringing a lame offering to God. It's my duty to pray. It's my duty to study my Sabbath school lesson. It's my duty to go to prayer meeting. It's my duty to go to church. Friends, it is not our duty. It is our privilege. Isn't our attitude sometimes terrible when we really think about it? When we consider and think about all that God does for us, He gives us food, sunshine, and air, and God doesn't even charge us for it. That's wonderful, isn't it? I'll tell you, if some businessman had a patent on the air in this world, we would have to pay quite a price to get our share of oxygen every month. There would be a lot of people out of breath because they couldn't pay their air bill. It's wonderful what Jesus does. He opens His hands and freely gives all to the good and the bad alike. Matthew 5:45. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, our God is a wonderful God, isn't He? People despise and disown Him, yet He still gives them daily blessings. Isn't it a shame when we say we do things as a duty to God? I think we should consider prayer a privilege, for it is wonderful to be able to get in touch with the eternal God, our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. Now, there is another problem in prayer. There are individuals going around feeling pretty sad, saying, God does wonderful things for some people. He hears their prayers and they get such blessings. I pray and I don't get anything. What's the trouble with me? Well, let me answer that question with an illustration, if I may. Over here is a fountain, a bubbling fountain of fresh, cool water. One person comes up to that fountain bringing a 10-gallon bucket. He fills that with fresh, flowing, bubbling water and goes away carrying a large load of life-giving water. Another comes with a gallon can, and that's all he carries away. Another person comes along and all he has is a half-pint cup. He comes to the fountain, and in just a second his cup is full, and he goes away with his tiny supply of water, wondering why he only has a cup full. Now, friends, what is the difference? Well, it is simply that one took a large container which could be filled with more. This person took only a tiny container which could hold only a little. When a person has only a little faith in God, he could only receive little blessings. When a person just opens their heart and says, here, Father, here is all the sin, all the impurities in my life. I empty myself for you. Take my will. Sanctify my power of choice. Then the Holy Spirit can fill that person's life to the fullest. So some people do get a lot more. You see, the more we are willing to empty our heart of self, the more God can fill us with His blessings. And another thing is, the more one gives of himself to the Lord's service, the more he needs special blessings. Luke 6, verse 38 says, the more one gives, the more one receives in order to give. My friends, most praying is a one-way affair. We often come and talk with the Lord and then don't wait for the Lord to answer back. If we would just wait a while at the end of our prayers, listening to hear what the Lord would tell us, we would surely hear Him speaking to our hearts. We would hear His loving voice calling us. My friends, learn to pray and learn to listen to God's answer. Learn to let Jesus have prime time with your heart to do some serious talking to you. I think you will find really sweet communion in doing that. The Lord loves to talk with you. Now there are conditions to having our prayers answered. When I pray, I must be willing to let God's will be done. I must be willing to surrender my own selfish desires. That's part of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10. Jesus, I want your will to be done in my life. Do you find that a hard part to pray? You know, we have our own selfish viewpoint, and we feel the urgency of our need and request. But to add, Lord, your will be done. You do whatever you think is best. It is very hard to do sometimes, isn't it? A little child sees a sharp knife on the kitchen table and reaches for it, saying, Daddy, Daddy, can I have that? What does the father do? Well, he pushes the knife further back on the table, out of the reach of the child. Now, why does he do that? Well, because knives can hurt little children. There are a good many Christians praying for things that may not be good for them, and when their Heavenly Father pushes it out of their reach, they say, Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Friends, there are many things we may not have in our lives because God sees best to withhold them. They wouldn't be good for us. My favorite text is Romans 8:28, which says, All things work together for good to those who love God. Now, another part of prayer is, Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6:11. But do you know how many people are wording their prayers today? Lord, give us this day our ice cream and cake. There are people who are praying for ice cream and cake, and God only promised bread. There are people who are praying for lemonade, and God only promised water. Many are praying for cream, and He only promised them milk. Listen to this promise in Isaiah 33, verse 16. Their bread and their water shall be sure. My friends, if it is God's bread, it is a balanced diet. You get all the vitamins and minerals that you need. When it is the water from heaven, it will surely quench your thirst. It's the purest water. The Bible says that God will supply all of our needs, not all our wants. Philippians 4:19. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen anyone starve to death because they kept God's commandments? Oh, my friends, Jesus feeds His people very well, doesn't He? You know, the birds are wonderful Christians. They get up early in the morning before they ever have a bite to eat and sing grace to their Heavenly Father. To be able to get up in the morning and sing praises to God on an empty craw is noteworthy. Now there's another condition to answer prayer in Matthew 6, verse 12. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You remember the story in Matthew 18 of the man who put legal pressure on the man who owed him $5? Yet he himself had been forgiven $1 million? Friends, there are a lot of people like that. The Lord has forgiven all their sins. Then if someone sins against them, they're reluctant to extend that same forgiveness to others. The Lord says that when we do this, He cannot do much in answering our prayers. He says He forgives us our sins according to the way we forgive those who wrong us. My friends, we need to learn the simple lesson of making things right with others. In fact, I believe that is the main reason there are a lot of people staying outside the church. They see a few people in the church that are crude and sharp and cutting in their actions. And they conclude, if that's the kind of people Christians are, I don't care to have anything to do with their church. They're hypocrites. Now that is a tragedy, but it is true. People are staying outside the church because they see so much fault in the lives of professed Christians, such as harsh dealings and a hateful and critical spirit. Jesus' heart was constantly wounded by the bickering and jealousy even among his 12 disciples. And it's no different in the church today. I wish it were. Each one of us like to believe we are in the right. How unforgiving we often are to an erring brother or sister in the church. Such a spirit hinders heaven from answering our prayers. Now another condition to answer prayer is, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Proverbs 28 verse 9. I've had people say to me, the Lord's answered my prayers and done wonderful things for me. Yet they will turn right around and trample the law of God underfoot every week. That is a strange combination. It says in 1 John 3:22 that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So there are a good many individuals who are preventing the Lord from answering their prayers because they turn a deaf ear to the commandments of God. They think that they're done away with. Sometimes I think when we pray, Lord, deliver me from evil, if we don't mean, take away all evil from my heart and my character, then I don't think we should ask him to deliver us from evil. I don't think we should say, Lord, I know this is wrong, but if you don't mind, I'd like to hang on to it just a little bit longer. Now, the bottom line is this. Suppose I do conform to all the conditions. I obey the commandments. I make things right with my fellow man. And I have a forgiving spirit. I am willing to submit to thy will be done. I am willing that God take away all the sin and evil from my life. And I'm willing to take time in this rushed life for God and for prayer. All these conditions I'm willing to comply with. Now I ask, how can I be sure that God will answer my prayer the way I want him to? Doesn't Jesus say in Matthew 21, verse 22, everything you ask in my name, believing, you shall receive? Ah, but on what condition? Thy will be done. Friends, don't ever forget that. Thy will be done, dear Jesus. Thy will be done. Luke 11, verse 2. King David cried out in agony with a repenting heart, oh, God, save my child. He cried in agony to God about the little innocent child writhing in the agonies of death. He cried and cried to God, Lord, save my child. But God allowed the little baby to slip down into the sleep of death, 2 Samuel 12. The Apostle Paul pled with God, Lord, take away this thorn in my flesh. You know, I think Paul was a pretty close child of God, and yet the Lord touched him on the shoulder and said, no, Paul, I will not do that. But there is one thing I will do. I will give you grace to bear it. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 6 through 8. And my dear friends, that is enough, isn't it? Grace to bear it? Remember, when you're walking through the fire, Jesus will be with you. Please remember this, friends. God has never promised to remove the cross from your back in this life. He never promised to take away the crown of thorns. He just simply said, I will give you strength to wear it or to bear it. Isn't that a wonderful assurance? We need to learn a simple lesson of trust. Our Father knows what is best for us. Do you remember someone else that prayed, and he prayed earnestly? He yielded his whole life to his Father. Yes, that was Jesus in Gethsemane. The Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 39, that Jesus cried in desperate anguish, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Can't you spare me, Father, from drinking it? With you all things are possible. Friends, Jesus had to drink that bitter cup. His Father could not answer that prayer as Jesus, in his humanity, might have wished, because he was carrying the load of the world's sin. In that awful death struggle, Jesus submitted to, Thy will be done. And friends, you and I may do the same in our Gethsemanes. When we drink that bitter cup of life, may we ever submit, Father, Thy will be done. Now in closing, I would like to illustrate the power of prayer by asking you a question. How much do you think that a simple prayer might weigh? Well, the only man I know who ever tried to weigh one never did find out. Once upon a time he thought he did. That was when he owned a little grocery store. It was a week before Christmas after the Second World War. Things were tough in those days, I remember. A tired-looking woman came into the store and asked a grocer for enough food to help make up a Christmas dinner for her little children. He asked her how much she could afford to spend. She answered, My husband was killed in the war. I have nothing to offer but a little prayer. This man confessed that he was not very sentimental in those days. A grocery store could not be run like a bread line. So he said, write it on paper and turn back to his business. To his surprise, the woman pulled a piece of paper from her bosom and handed it to him over the counter and said, I did that during the night watching over my sick baby. The grocer reached out his hand and took the paper before he could recover from his surprise, and then regretted having done so. What could he do with it? What could he say? Then an idea suddenly came to him, and he placed the paper, without even reading it, on the weight side of his old-fashioned scales. He said, We will see how much this is worth. To his astonishment, the scale would not go down, though he kept adding on food. Anything he could lay his hands on quickly, because people were watching him. He tried to be gruff, but he was making a bad job of it. His face got red, and it made him angry to be flustered. Finally, he said, Well, that's all the scales will hold anyway. Here's a bag. You have to put it in yourself. I'm busy. With what sounded like a gasp or a little sob, she took the bag and began packing in the food, wiping her eyes on her sleeves every time her arm was free to do so. He tried not to look, but he could not help seeing that he had given her a pretty big bag and that it was not quite full, so he tossed a large cheese down the counter to her. When the woman had gone, he went to look at his scales, scratching his head and shaking it in puzzlement. Then he found the solution. The scales were broken. Well, the grocer has passed away now, but he often scratched his head in the same place and shook it slowly back and forth with a puzzled expression. He never saw the woman again, and come to think about it, he had never seen her before either. Yet, for the rest of his life, he remembered her better than any other woman in the world. He knew it had not been just his imagination, for he still had the slip of paper upon which the woman's prayer had been written. It said, Please, Lord, Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, friends, how often we look upon God as our last and feeblest resource. We go to Him because we have nowhere else to go. And then we learn that the storms of life have actually driven us not upon the rocks, but into the desired haven. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us pray more. Let us never get weary in well-doing. Let us never get weary in praying. But let us humble our hearts before the Lord, surrendering all to Him. Dearest Father, O Lord, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that You love to talk with us. Create in us a great desire to talk with You. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord, and the times in which we doubted. Oh, help us to pray more. Pray, believing that You will answer our prayers. And help us always, dear Lord, to ask in Thy will, that Thy will be done. And if it's not Your will that we have, do not have this or have that, please withhold it from us, because we want nothing that is not according to Your will. So please guide us now as we go through this coming week. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Help us to live by faith and trust in our loving Jesus, because we ask it now, all in His precious name. Amen.